Hey guys, thanks for joining us for this 150th episode in Season 2 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. Special guests on this episode include comedian and author George Wallace. We'll talk about the book Bull Twit and Whatnot. Also, his upcoming performance at Mike's Fall Soul Celebration at the Bridgestone Arena Saturday, November 27th. We'll also visit with basketball player, dancer, and rap artist Iman Shumpert. We'll talk about Dancing with the Stars and his new single, Outside. We'll also visit with Robbie Gray and Mick Conroy from Modern English. They've got a new live CD-DVD to talk about, also going to be available on vinyl. And we'll visit with luxury home builder Scott Hamilton Harris. We'll talk about the housing market and how shipping issues are causing effects on building projects. Of course, if you would, please take the time to subscribe, comment, leave some feedback, check out the shop, and share with your friends. Now, if all you want for Christmas is Mariah Carey and McDonald's, you're in luck. She's here to bring you 12 days of free food with her, quote, Mariah menu. There's only a few small catches. The promotion is only available in the McDonald's app, and you have to spend at least $1 to be eligible for the free daily item. It'll start December 13th and run through the 24th. Now, some of the free items include a Big Mac, apple pie, 6-piece chicken McNuggets, and breakfast items like pancakes and a sausage egg McMuffin. Each day has a designated item. Now, items ordered from the menu will come in special packaging that is, quote, inspired by Mariah's love for the holidays and chic style. Mariah said, quote, some of my favorite memories with my kids are our family trips to McDonald's. And of course, each of us has our go-to order. Mine is the cheeseburger, and I get it with extra pickles. Bringing together some of our favorite food from McDonald's with my all-time favorite season is a holiday wish come true. Always good to have back a friends of the show, especially when they're as great as the one and only George Wallace. George, it is always great to visit with you. Appreciate you taking the time, brother.
Well, right black at you, right black at you. I'm so happy to be with you today. Anytime I get a chance to talk to Tulsa, because y'all living on Tulsa time, and I just had to say that.
And George, I know that you've got to be excited. Your first live stand-up event coming up on the 27th, the Mike's Fall Soul Celebration, Bridgestone Arena, Nashville, Tennessee. Tell us how excited you are about this event coming up.
Well, I can't wait to go back to Nashville. I haven't been there in a while because, I'm doing some new jokes about Southerners. There's something wrong with people in the South. You got Alabama, Texas, Georgia, South Carolina, and Florida competing on who has the most stupid stuff going on in that state. So I'm going to talk about Tennessee and Nashville, because if you've ever been to Nashville, every corner, they got a First Baptist Church. Every corner. All these churches cannot be the First Baptist Church, okay? So I want to talk to those people about that. And some of the churches are brand new, like a year old. How the hell are you going to be the first and you're new on the block?
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. So we're going to talk about, definitely going to talk about the holiday weekend after Thanksgiving, visiting your family and can't wait to get the hell out of there. So we're going to talk about it. And that's the truth. I visit my family at Thanksgiving. This happened many years ago. And I'm sitting around the table and I'm going, thank God it'll be another 365 days before I see these greedy suckers again. And you ever sit around the table and you're just thinking, oh, this is so good, Mom, this is so good, I'm so happy to be with y'all. And you look at your clock around 6 o'clock and go, I got to get the hell out of here. These people are driving me crazy.
It was great to see you, but man, it's time to go.
It's amazing. But we're going to be talking also, I might even read my book on stage.
Yeah, tell our listeners your excitement about having the book available too.
The book is called Bull Twit and Whatnot. Bull Twit is based on the Twitter world. And I thought I would never tweet. And I said, you know what? There's 500 million tweeters per day. And some of these people would never be able to see me. So I start sharing my little jokes. And it's online ramblings from my brain, like stupid things I will straight up do. You know, like I'll eat cupcakes out of a pan. And I'll eat pancakes out of a cup. I'll straight up, I don't care anymore. I don't play by the rules, you know? Things that I do, I'll drink a half a glass of whole milk and a whole glass of half and half. I don't give a crap. Okay. Things are straight. I'll eat English muffins in France and French toast in England. I don't, you know, so things like that. We just have fun. The book is called Bull Twit and Whatnot. Whatnot means you can go into any area you'd like to go to. And it's at georgewallace.net. You can buy the book. Last time I did Amazon, but they take half your money. You know, you got to pay for that spaceship that's going up. So.
Yeah, they got to pay for that somehow.
Yeah, and you know, that's what crime is, right? Do you, you know, we should, you know what we should do? We should invest in boxes. Do you, I order something from Amazon every night. I don't know what's wrong with me. I just love ordering things, but they ship out more stuff than anybody, don't they? Oh, my goodness.
Far and away more than anybody else does. Now, George, tell our listeners about the other guests that are going to be a part of the Fall Soul Celebration coming up on the 27th.
Oh, are you kidding? It's going to be George Wallace. It's going to be Anthony Hamilton. And it's going to be my favorite singer. Oh, my God. Miss Patti LaBelle. Patti LaBelle. And I want to talk to her because, oh, you know what I want to talk about? Because that's going to be the holiday season. And that's when most people buy that sweet potato pie. You know, she's known for having a sweet potato pie, and she sells it at Walmart for $3.48. I want to ask her, what the hell is she putting in the pie? Because I know for a fact, if you go to the grocery store and you buy the pan and the crust, that's $2.48. So she ain't putting butter. You think I could ask her that?
Maybe she gets a cut.
You ain't putting but a dollar worth of stuff in the pie. What are you? Well, it's probably... Anytime you put cinnamon and brown sugar on anything, it's going to be good. We know that. So we'll be talking about that in Nashville, Tennessee, and we're going to have some fun no matter what, because laughter is the greatest medicine in the world. And people love to laugh, especially coming out of this pandemic. People love to laugh. And I'm just so blessed to be able to bring the joy, bring the smoke, as they would say.
Yeah. And George, have you found it harder to find humor over these last couple of years?
I actually found it easier. Because, you know, if you can make somebody laugh, that is pretty good. Because I talk about the things where COVID got me through. You know, I was so strict about it. I was locked down. I was confined. I didn't let anybody in my house. My daughter came by to visit me, and I live on the 25th floor, and I just waved at her. I said, keep moving. That's as close as you're going to get. And, you know, just telling jokes like that, making up jokes. Nobody come in my house. I let Sarah Lee come in my house. I let Ben and Jerry come in my house. And I let Johnny Walker come in. The only reason I let Johnny Walker come in because he was black. But you know, so my job is to keep rolling with the jokes, and laughter is the greatest medicine. So whatever anybody goes through, if it's death or whatever it is, at the end of the day, we gotta keep laughing. You can't even fake a smile without feeling better.
That's right. That's right. And George, again, I want to make sure and let our listeners know the website to be able to catch up with everything you got going on.
And you must tweet me, George Wallace. Tweet me at Mr. George Wallace. I want to see how many tweeters come in this day, right now, at Mr. George Wallace. Put some laughter in your life. And don't forget, and buy the book at georgewallace.net. Okay, if you're in Nashville, Tennessee, get your tickets for the Bridgestone Arena. That's who put me through college, by the way.
That's awesome.
It was Firestone Tire and Rubber, and they bought Bridgestone bought Firestone Tire and Rubber, and they put me through college, the University of Akron, Ohio.
That is awesome. And George, always great to visit with you, sir. I appreciate you taking some time and looking forward to everything you got coming up, brother.
Don't ever forget, I love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. I'm George Wallace. See you.
Now, what's something that instantly fills you with rage? Well, 2,000 people were polled, and here are the 10 things that got the most votes. Number one, when someone cuts in line in front of you. 44% of people said it's rage-inducing. Number two, rude people in general. Number three, when someone thinks the rules don't apply to them. Number four, when you're stuck on hold and have to keep pushing different numbers to get to the right department. Number five, people who don't say please and thank you. Number six, hidden fees. Number seven, shallowness and ignorance. Number eight, when you're in a crosswalk and someone speeds through without stopping. Number nine, people who chew with their mouth open. And number 10, ATM fees or having to pay to withdraw cash. Now, a few more that made the list include construction sounds on a Saturday morning, finding a parking ticket on your car, gas prices, drivers who don't use blinkers, and when a self-checkout machine at the store freezes up, so an employee has to come help you.
I mentioned to him before we came on, when the season of Dancing with the Stars started, Iman Shumpert was not one of the ones I had at the top of my list, but now, Iman, you've changed things. It's a privilege to visit with you, brother.
Hey, you didn't have me at the top? Oh, man. it's cool, man. It's been cool being on the show, man. I don't think a lot of people expected me to really, really commit and really do the dances at the level. But I really try and give a commitment to anything I give my time to. I try and give a full commitment when it's time to give a show.
Now, for you, Iman, did you know coming in, did you have an idea that you could be in it to win it, if you will?
I always feel like I could be in it to win it. I'm an ultra-competitive person, and anytime I can go at some competition and, you know, send somebody home, so to speak, in playoff four. I think once they started speaking semifinalists and, you know, get to the finals, I'm like, once you start talking that's my language. So I'm like trying to like continue to be a friend before I turn into like the ultimate competitor.
So when they start mentioning the semifinals and finals and all that stuff, do you start gritting your teeth as soon as you hear those words?
Yeah, I go into a mode, man. I like to win. I've never played any game to lose. I've only come to win, and I like that fight or flight feeling. I like that nervousness of, you know, will we be victorious or will I, you know, fall off the bike and land on my face?
Now, also on the side, got music. I don't know that I would say it's on the side, but got a new single to talk about as well. And Iman, tell us about the single Outside, where that came from, and to have it in the hands and ears of listeners.
Outside is just a term that I think, you know, it could mean a lot of different things. But I started to watch the word take a negative turn. And it's a word that... you know, I say a word as in that we started to use in just our slang conversations. Just starting to hear it float to something that can be considered negative, we kind of wanted to fight to keep it in the positive and create a sound that reminded you of a fun day, like a Saturday, Sunday, weekend feel. At night, where, you know, you're sort of just going out with love around you and, you know, anything goes, but you're not really in a vibe of feeling like you want to get into anything negative. It's all about positivity, having a good time, making it home safe with love around you. So I think it's a feel-good single, and, you know, I haven't dropped anything in a long time, so I feel like it'll be a good song to have next to my name, as, you know, people haven't heard me and haven't, you know, seen where I'm sitting and where I'm thinking, you know, at 31.
For you, how hard was it to keep a positive in the midst of all the stuff that we've gone through these last couple of years, Iman?
I think that with not being in the NBA consistently as I was in previous years, I think I was looking for anything to attach my mind to. I think it's the ultimate test of a man to continue to do things when no one's watching. It's a test of your character. Every day is a battle of that. And every day without a contract next to me is the time that I see how much I really love the game, because without a contract, will you continue to work your ass off? And I've done so. Without a contract, will I, you know, still put my best foot forward in other areas, or is it more of a, in the glory type of thing? And I realized that, no, I really like to rap. Like, whether I was in the NBA or not, it wasn't about now people know me and I think I could rap. It's I just rap. I do music. I make clothes. I play basketball. I'll take on any challenge. That's who I am. But it's not a, I think not having a contract really solidified that in my mind, because there is moments that you feel like, oh, well, because the spotlight's on me, I'm just doing stuff because it's here. And you start realizing who you are when, you know, nobody's calling, nobody's telling you the workout is at 11, and you find yourself making sure you're getting in the gym for your own peace. I think that's when you really start to analyze things and understand what love is, because I really love the game of basketball.
And what's it been like on Dancing with the Stars to have the fan reaction, the fan support as well? I mean, how does that feel on a personal level for you? How satisfying is it?
I mean, for me, just having something new to attach my mind to is exciting. Danielle has done a great job of making this smooth for me. She figures out ways to put routines together that show ballroom but also personality. And once I'm able to commit to something in my mind, I really feel like I'm able to do anything.
And Iman, I want to make sure and let our listeners know, if they want to keep you going on through the episodes as well, where they can, I know they can vote during the East Coast feed coming up next week as well.
Yeah, you just text Iman to 21523. I've said that so many times, I feel like it's a button. Text Iman to 21523. Yes, you can text that number. It's a 5-digit number. It's like you would text an AT&T to check your bill. 21523. Text Iman to 21523. Thank you, guys.
That's cool. Now, Iman, what is the next venture that has inspired you? Are there any new roads you're going to be taking in the near future?
Not new roads, but I am going to be dropping my album. I don't have a date now that I've, kind of gone off schedule with taking on the Dancing with the Stars opportunity. But I'm releasing Outside this week. We're really letting Outside go and get to the public. And through releasing that, we'll start releasing visuals, and an album will follow for people to, sort of see that story from me, to understand why I am the way I am and why I won't change in that regard.
That's cool. And Iman, if folks want to keep up with the music, the clothing, everything else as well, where's the best place for folks to keep up with you?
You just head to imanshumpert.com, man. No space, no periods. Imanshumpert.com, and stay in the loop with all things Iman. My clothing line will be dropping. Right now we're all about doing work right now. So
that's awesome. Yeah. That's good stuff.
Imanshumpert.com.
All right, well, Iman, it has been great to visit with you today, brother. Continued success on the show, and hopefully we can catch up and talk as the new album drops.
Man, I appreciate you guys.
Lawyers just love to fight, don't they? Well, a family court lawyer in Pittsburgh named Jeffrey Pollock was on his way into court yesterday and had to go through a metal detector. When he walked through, an alarm went off, so security made him check his pockets and go back through, but it went off again. He told them it was probably the suspenders he was wearing, but he refused to take them off. He got into a heated argument with the guards and did eventually remove his suspenders. The problem is, he also removed his pants. He got fed up, dropped his pants, put them in the bin, and walked through the metal detector in his shirt and underwear. He was standing in the lobby, still pantless, when sheriff's deputies showed up. They arrested him, and he's now facing charges for disorderly conduct. I just assume that his client's case had to be postponed, but there's no official word on that.
We've got Robbie Gray and Mick Conroy with us from Modern English. Got a new album, got an upcoming vinyl release, got a cruise to talk about, all kinds of stuff. And first off, Robbie and Mick, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Now, first off, let's talk about the album that came out in August, live CD, DVD, After the Snow, and what it's like to have new music out there in the hands of folks, especially all we've gone through these last couple of years, guys.
Over to you, Mike.
Well, it's actually, even though we've been, playing together for
ever. It's still, you know, it's really exciting for as a band to actually have, you know, new records in your hand and new artwork to enjoy. The album After the Snow Live is a celebration of the original recording from 40 years ago of the LP After the Snow.
It's all done in order, like the album was. The songs are all in the chronological order, if that's a word. Someone's calling.
Yeah, that's the word.
Yeah, so it was a bizarre thing. We played live at the Indigo at the O2 in London, a really amazing venue. But because of the pandemic, it was for a live streaming and a live recording. So we were there all day. It took quite a long time to set up. But it was, you know, it was like the most glorified sound that anyone could do. There was no one in the audience. All there were was the camera people, the crew, the sound recording people. It really was a fantastic day. You know, we kind of sounded good and we looked good as well.
It's been mixed really well as well. It sounds really good. Yeah. It's very lively, being a live album. It's quite nice to have it lively. And it is. Lots of energy in it, you know.
How hard was it to get that energy when you're just playing for cameras? I mean, did that take you a little while to get that comfort level?
No, because when we rehearse, we play with the same energy. we're not known for being subtle, really. So.
Let's talk about the vinyl release coming up later this month as well. What's it like to have vinyl making the comeback that it's been making as of late as well?
Yeah, we've got this record day. I think it's in this month in November. There's a record store day, and they're going to be putting out. You know, I think it's I Melt. Well, there it is. Look, you can't see it, but Mick's showing you anyway. There's a beautiful piece of artwork there.
Yeah, and it's got a gatefold sleeve. Yeah. It's official.
And I think it might be white, isn't it? Is it white vinyl, Mick?
Yeah.
All mod cons.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. You know, it's finally.
We love vinyl, so for us it's just normal, you know, to have vinyl. I hated CDs and tapes. It's
And I've got a 16-year-old that my wife got me a record player a couple of years ago. My 16-year-old would rather listen to the vinyl any day.
It's the only way to listen to music, really.
Yeah.
Now, we talked about the CD-DVD, we talked about the vinyl coming up. We've also got to talk about the cruise. What's it like to get to go out and play the 80s cruise a week-long coming up in March? How excited are you about that as well?
Well, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be really crazy. Because, I mean, we're doing it with people we know, you know, ABC, Flock of Seagulls, Human League. I mean, these are people we've played with recently over the years. We've been playing with them. You know, on tours. So we know all these guys really well. So you can imagine what the dinners are going to be like at night. It's going to be good fun. And we're actually doing the opening concert out on the pool deck on the first day. So it's going to be, you know, sunshine and everyone's going to be getting ready to party for the week. So it'll be the big opening, you know, concert. So we're looking forward to doing that. It's nice to get paid to go to these Caribbean islands, I have to say.
And you guys got the pressure of kicking that whole thing off, too.
Yeah. They actually wanted, they asked us if we'd start it because we did one a few years back and we opened that day as well. And it went so well, they basically want us to reboot that day again and do it again. So we're looking forward to it. It's going to be, you know, no complaints from modern English about this kind of work.
And Mick, for these last couple of years, I mean, we've all gone through things that we never probably ever foresaw. How did you guys have to change things up to keep the sanity going?
Well, me and Rob, in England, we live quite close to each other, but we're so used to communicating via you know, the computer. We were always sending music and parts of songs to each other. So and with Gary and Steve, we've actually got an entire new LP's worth of music, completely demoed. And, you know, we were actually really busy during the lockdown. I mean, we've got easily over an album's worth of new material that we're going to start recording next year when we get space in between the endless tour that we're going on. But
this is the most exciting thing of all for me is the new music. It's the best stuff we've done probably since the After the Snow album.
Wow.
So, you know, it's really good. We did some good stuff in the lockdown. It was worth something, that lockdown.
Yeah. It gave us quite a lot of time to actually think about what we were, what we wanted to do and how, you know, how the music would sound. It's really exciting for us at the moment.
Did you have a change in the sound or the inspirations that you had as a result?
Yeah. I mean, because there was kind of like, no one knows what was going to happen next. So we just kind of, the music is actually a lot more punky. You know, it's kind of like we've thought about how we were when we started, you know, when we didn't know whether we'd ever make records or get on the radio or play, you know, the next concert. We didn't know when it was going to happen. So everything that we were doing, we kind of like, decided let's just do what we want to do, you know, and go back to, listening to how we were when we started. And I think people, you know, might be a bit surprised at what they're hearing. You know, it's like at our age, sounding like we did when we were like 17 again.
It's really important to keep, you know, keep an energy in there. Otherwise you can sort of drift away and just not sound very exciting. And we've got that. We've kept that bit going, so that's good. And what's been different about this section of songwriting has been that me and Mick and Gary, the guitarist, were actually in the rooms together, so we could feed off each other. And as we were writing parts, we realised that it was really good. So we kept banging things down and getting another one going because it just kept working. Over about 6 weeks, it just sounded so good and we were just excited and we wanted to keep making more and more songs. And this new album that will happen next year probably next year, you know, by the end of the year, hopefully we'll have it finished. It's going to be extraordinary, I'd say.
That's awesome. Well, guys, I want to make sure and let folks know where they can find more info to get the CD, DVD, the vinyl, the tickets for the cruise and all that. Where's the best place to find that info?
Online, man.
something called Google. People can go to modernenglish.me, which is our the Modern English website. And, of course, there's information on our Modern English Facebook page. And the cruise is the 80scruise.com. There's info there. I'm not sure if there's any tickets left, but there might be a couple. I think it's sold out.
That's awesome. And again, Mick Conroy, Robbie Gray, I've been a fan for so many years. It's been a privilege to have the chance to visit with you guys. Hope you guys have a great rest of your week, and I'm looking forward to the vinyl.
Cheers, Cameron. Thanks very much.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Now, I personally feel like this is somewhat common for guys in relationships. Have you ever had a beard or mustache for a while, then shaved it off, and your significant other got angry about it? Well, a new poll for No Shave November found 1 in 6 men have had a relationship argument about facial hair. Now, they didn't break it down into types of fights, but it probably includes fights about not shaving too. And also that 5 o'clock shadow moment where you go in for a kiss and your face is sandpaper. Now here are a few more stats from the poll. 11% of men who are taking part in No Shave November say their significant other is not thrilled about it and can't wait for December 1st. Now, are men with beards better with money? 48% of Americans say yes, 52% say no, clean-shaven men are. Is having a beard more expensive than shaving every day? The poll found guys who are clean-shaven spend $35 a month on things like razors and shaving cream. Men with facial hair spend $49 on things like beard oil or getting their beard trimmed. And last, what other types of grooming or personal care are men doing this year? 12% routinely spend money on massages. 9% said manicures or pedicures.
another 9% said facials, and 7% of men go in for an occasional waxing. It is time for our monthly visit with our good friend, the luxury home builder extraordinaire, and I call him John Lovitz with a hammer, Scott Hamilton Harris. And Scott, always good to see you, my friend.
Oh, it's good to see you. And I call you Cameron Dole, my best friend.
It just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
It does, right? It fits, you know. Now, if the compliment fits, then yeah.
Now, how have things been going this last month since we visited last in the building game, if you will?
Oh, they've been good, man. We've been building and just, I don't know if you follow anything we do, but sometimes too busy to post it. But I mean, just new homes going up and like these crazy amounts of steel. And, you know, you go out there and you're just amazed. Every day you see this, you feel like a kid again. And it's very invigorating. It's just, there's a change every day, right? You know, I used to do architecture. I did interior design, product design, all of that stuff. And you go and you sit at the table and that paper looked the same, Cameron. Like the new lines, you're like, wow, you know, there's a lot more lines on the computer today than there were yesterday. But it's amazing, you know, to go out there and see someone's thought. And then to take someone's thought and make it tangible every day is a blessing that I have. So I love it. I'm going to be like that 89-year-old guy with the, you know, with the mobile walker trying to go over the wheel. Mr. Harris, get out of here. Ah! You know, I got to see this.
How is the housing market everywhere else? I know we talked last month and I told you we were kind of in the house looking place in our lives. I know it's absolutely crazy here. Is it that way there as well? Kind of nationwide, if you will?
Yeah. I mean, I think as long as the interest rates stay where they are or stay lower, you know, you're just going to continue to see that. And there's this thing that keeps happening where we keep making more and more of us, right? And so there's less and less of the homes. And apparently in 9 months, you can make another person, but you know, it takes a lot longer than that to build a house. So if you just do the math on that, you can see why we've got a problem. Why everybody needs one of these things called a home. So it's a good business to be in, and it's always a demand for it. You know, and sadly, there's a lot of people that don't have homes that we see, especially here in Los Angeles. But I've decided I'm no longer calling them homeless, with all respect, because they're homesteaders, because I've seen these homes. They've got white, I'm on Venice Beach, Cameron, and they've got actually white picket fences in front of it now.
Really?
Like without, yeah. I mean, so this home, but everyone needs a home.
That's right.
Right. And it's just, it does create a big demand in the market. And I think it's just an ongoing demand. You don't have a choice anymore, right? Yeah. Live out or live out or homestead.
And how has, I know we, as we get toward the holidays, as far as shopping and everything like that is concerned, we're hearing about supply chain issues and how is that affecting what you guys are doing as well?
It's a good question. You know, you're having supply chain issues, not as much because of the supply, but as much as the chain is broken or the chain has got a kink in it, you know, in the harbor here. And I don't know if you've heard about this, but I mean, it's just backed up for miles because of COVID restrictions before they're letting them bring the docks in. So, you know, it's just crazy. You know, I mean, I'll give you an example. I don't know if you know much about cabinets, but there's these things underneath. They're called a Hayfula slides. Everyone loves those little self-closing drawers.
Yes.
Well, those are 7 months out. And so now it's because there was a shortage of steel that comes from China, blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, if you want those, you're going on the black market, you know, and they notify. And here's what happens too, is the greed, right? They notify everybody that it's like the toilet paper. We're not having the toilet paper issue everywhere. You know, there may be a shortage of these underbound flights. Huh. So everybody buys them up. You're calling cabinet makers and it's no longer, you know, what the cost is, how soon can you finish it? What's your quality? Hey, you got any of those glides? You got them? He's like, yeah. I bought six boxes before I heard about it. You know, another guy's like, no, I mean, I know a guy. I know a guy. That's And so it becomes a big deal when you're ordering things now. You know, we have a project that we have to finish in 12 weeks, but they want all new floors and all new lights. And so really, you know, it's a big part of it is what do you have in stock? It's like the end game here with when you're hiring contractors, so selecting products. So really, yeah, it has had a major effect on it. Yeah. I mean, I can tell you, if I want to just order, you know, some new hardwood flooring, it's like 7 months out to get the stuff that I just custom. Now, what I have to do is we'll have to go and order something that is in stock that's, you know, pre-manufactured, and they just happen to have a lot, right? So significant issues, that we've been having.
That led us right into, we've got several questions to get to today. We got quite a few listener questions, and you better get a real good gulp of that coffee before we get into the first one, right?
Oh, this is good. This is my dad's mug. He was in the police. He was in SID, the Scientific Investigation Department.
Oh, cool.
He's no longer with me, so I drink out of this cup every day.
Well, that's cool. Well, Scott, our first question comes from Jason in Lake Tahoe, Nevada. And he says, hi, Scott and Cameron. So, hey, Jason.
Hey, Jason.
So maybe you can help with a draft problem. When we're upstairs, even with the heat on, we feel a draft in our loft area. There's no windows. Do you have any suggestions as to what's causing it?
Oh, that's good. I'm glad Jason has a regular name. There's like a lot of,
one of the first we've had.
I know. I like Jason. I like Lake Tahoe. I'm already feeling good about this. So I was going to say the obvious. My dad always told me close the windows. That was like the first thing. that's a big help. But no windows. Wow. Okay. Well, this is good. Now we get to get my dad's Scientific Investigation Department going here. when I had a quick story, I had a physiology teacher, Mr. Diliberti, was just the best toupee you've ever seen. And there was only like a few things I remember in school. And he said, there's one thing that controls everything in the universe. One rule. And I thought about it for weeks. He wouldn't tell us, you know, kids, no, you know, no. And he finally told us, he said that everything is trying to reach a state of equilibrium. That's what causes gravity. That's what causes waves. That's what causes why tall and short, men and women, you know, it's just, it controls the universe, everything. And so knowing that actually made me think about these things and to answer long-winded way, what's happening is, because I had grew up in that drafty house, you're getting a vacuum. So what happens, you turn your heat on, you answered your own question, Jason. When you turn the heat on, what you've done is you've created hot air. And now you've got cold air that's around the bottom of the house that's not sealed up, and it's actually drawing it through because the cold air wants to meet the hot air. They're like, hey, cold air, you're pretty hot. you know, come on over. And so because of that one law of the universe, what I learned, that is exactly what's happening. You create a draft. How do you fix it though, right? So what you do is you seal up the cracks, because what's happening is as you have hot air, the cold air is trying to knock on the door and say, I want to come in now. And just counterintuitive, because the hotter the air, the more the cold air is going to come and want to say hello to the hot. So a lot of times where it comes from is under the floors. You know, everyone goes through so many great measures with their, I've got triple pane glass and this, and, you know, but did you ever look under the floor? I mean, you can probably shine a flashlight on the top and I can go under your house and see light down there. And it's quite cold under there. It's damp. Another good place is to seal things up is to do, is this is just always, always, Cameron, probably even check your house. Open, you ever open up one of your outlets? You know, take one of the switch plates and it just your house looks beautiful, sealed. There's a hole in the wall. The whole walls, everything's got big holes in it, right?
Yes.
And so that's a significant place that nobody really thinks of. And you, if you had one of these little meters to go around, you would see how much air is actually exchanging, because those outlets have holes with conduits and holes drilled that go right down to the bottom of your house. So open those things up, fill it around with some of that little wonderful foam, right? Don't use too much because your wife may be mad. It squeezes everywhere. But I mean, that in itself could be enough to just make a change. And then you can also do some kind of very simple sheeting underneath your underfloor. And if you don't want it to happen, don't turn the heat on. Because it's just the law of the universe.
Just deal with the cold.
Yeah, but it's interesting. You know, it's like I would sit in my bedroom as a kid and like, why is there a draft? How is it possible? There's actually wind in my room. And you're like, I know my mom and dad couldn't afford an air conditioner heater, but there's wind in my room. How is that possible?
Well, now you know.
Now we know. Yeah.
That's cool. Well, our next one comes from Portland. I think you like Portland as well. One comes from, I'm not sure if it's Eva or Ava, but I'm going to say Eva in Portland.
Okay.
That says, saw your Instagram page, wondered if that was a hotel you're now working on. Wow, what a view, too. Can you tell us more about it? And thank you.
It's not a hotel because it's bigger. It looks like a hotel on steroids. I don't know if you've seen any of these things.
I have.
I mean, I'll put it this way. I got the new iPhone 13 with the Pro, and I tried to do the cool wide angle thing, and I still can't fit the whole thing in there. So I had to do like, you know, two left, here's the right half. And that's just the front. That's just the front of it. So it's on 3 acres, and it's, you know, I'm really honored to be able to do this. It's one of the most historical homes in Los Angeles that we've completely taken down and put back together again. And I don't know if you know at Hearst Castle here in California, but I think the Hearst family would be William Randolph Hearst, who was one of who created Los Angeles Times. And he was known as having one of the first female architects in the world that did his house. And it's just, let's just say the Hearst family are coming over and they're jealous. The people at Playboy came over and said, hey, I want one of those right now. What happened? I mean, it just puts all of those to shame. This thing is, I mean, the exposure on the front, 3 stories, 25,000 square feet, wow. You know, to look at a building on the front elevation and see 87 windows, it's just, I mean, it's magnificent. I mean, you just, there's no, you know what I'm saying? You just stare at it. And it's probably going to be, I think, one of the greatest things that I've done in my life besides have kids and maybe a few other things. But I, you know, I hope you guys stay and watch this thing because it's amazing. I don't know what else to say about it. I mean, I'll just give you a little glimpse of what we're doing. We're having the levels that we're going to, and I told the client we should do a documentary, but he said no one will watch. Everything is hand carved. The whole home is carved out of in limestone with the acanthus leaves and the big, you know, over the doorway. We're having these huge things with these reliefs that 4-inch pieces of stone. Where they're completely just carving out these like beautiful grape leaves and vines. And we're on week 4 now on the mock-ups of perfecting the perfect grape globe. Like that's the level of detail we're going on. I told the client, I said, you know, they're going to say, God, the house was so great, except that one little globe they carved up in that stone there just like it.
Needed one more week.
I mean, Do you do the globe grapes or you do those kind of drippy longer ones? You know, what was it? So, I mean, if you ever come to LA, I'd love to show it to you too. It's stunning, really stunning.
Well, I love watching. I've been following the pictures as well on Instagram. And I thought it was a hotel the first time when I was showing Lindsay, my wife, and she's like, wow, that's an impressive hotel. And it's like, no, that's a house.
I got to send you some of the newer ones with the stone on it. It's just amazing. So Eva, come on down. We'll show it to you. Thank you for being interested.
We also have from Detroit, Michigan, we've got Greg who says, hey guys, with winter fast approaching, what can we do to winterize our house?
That's a good timely question. What can we do, Greg? So he's in Detroit. Yeah, it's cold out there. I think you're screwed. It's a little late to add that.
It's already cold.
That's too late. You're done. Now, look, you know, there's so many things that you can do to homes that you kind of do preemptively when we're creating them. Look, there's all the obvious things like we talk about, you know, caulking around the windows and filling all the seams and, you know, insulation is really great. You know, and we did Ed Begley's Jr.'s house. You know, he would always call it, do the low hanging fruit first. I think he said it, you know, I've heard him say it so many times, it's ingrained in my head, but you know, it's doing the insulation, you know, is an easy thing. And here's what's interesting. When you look at these things in California, we do analysis here, it's called a Title 24 code of where the energy and heat loss and gains are. And, you know, 80% of it is happening through your roof. And so if you feel like, God, I can't open my walls up and deal, you're really going to, it's good to have, but it's that icing on the cake. So if you have one of those open attics and you can do some R30, you know what? Let's call it crazy. Do R38, do R40, you know, insulation. It's great. It's like, imagine going outside in the winter and I forgot to put on my coat. That's basically what you're dealing with. But I want to say, here's something that I think most important for your listeners, winterizing your house. Everybody forgets this. Check your gutters. Number one, that's the obvious. Here's the big one. Check your area drainage. Almost nobody checks the area drainage. Here's how you do it. You just take off any one of your drain covers, put a hose down there and see if the water goes down. It has been so great for business, Cameron. I can tell you, we do 3 to 5 of these a year where what happens is you get one of the drains that are blocked, right, around the house. And if you've got a more sophisticated house with downspouts, it's collecting all the water from the roof. It's channeling it down. It's putting it into your area drainage. And you know what happens is the area drain is not put together very well. And you get one little tree root that grows through it. Or you get dirt. And the gardener kept just blowing all the leaves in there during summer. You're done. We just had a basement in near Beverly Hills area that had about $3 million in damage to it.
Wow.
Because of that. And it happened in about 10 minutes. It was, and we found a tree root that was broken. You know, it, basically the water just goes down to the light well, finds the lowest point, had nowhere to come out, starts filling up, and the basement turned into a bathtub. Wow. We had movie theaters down there. It had gyms. It had kitchens. You know, it was just, there was brilliant what this thing had in there. And so the entire thing was just gutted. You know, we had to have about 75 people down there with hazmat suits to remove everything before the mold started. And all of that was due to one tree root because somebody, and I said, remember we talked last year? I said, you want to check your area drainage? I checked the gutters. And so,
I'll be checking the area drainage from now on too.
So as far as winterizing your house, you know, there's not a lot you can do except doing the insulation, but please, you know, check your drainage systems because, and I guess in Detroit, you know, it might be more about the snow over there, but, you know, for most of us, it's significant. I mean, it hits people by surprise. You should check yours, Cameron.
Yeah. And our last one comes from Huntsville, Alabama, and it's from Susan, and says, can't decide between putting in laminate floors or tile. Said they have kids and pets. Can you give them any inside information on what to look for to make sure that they'll install either right?
Oh, yeah. You know, I like the way you say Susan from Huntsville, Alabama. It's just gold all that tongue. It's beautiful. Yeah, so as far as the quick answer to that is, as far as laminate floors, lam is not glam. It just, you got to say no. Lam is not glam. Tile is always in style. You just, and here's what I'm going to do for, here's what I'm doing, Susan. This is going to be like that moment on Oprah, you know, or the Ellen DeGeneres, and everybody gets to look under their chair and there's a car for everybody. I am willing to help you with this. You can call me after. We'll give all the contact information, but you cannot do laminate floors. Made your life easy. These laminate floors are so, they're so temporary, you know. It's just, we deserve to have some luxury in our life. And these floating laminate floors were great for business. They're thin, they're shipped, you know, you can make a lot of it. It looks finished, but we don't need to live in that kind of shell. And a lot of them are made in areas where there's a lot of off-gassing, so they're really not healthy for you. So a lot of the chemicals they're using, you know, it takes 3 years to figure it out. And tile, you know, can be very affordable. I even did tile in my house. So if you want something that's indestructible, a porcelain tile is great. Ceramic tile is good, but use a porcelain tile. I bought it for my house. It was $1.99 a square foot. And I did it in a pattern, you know, where it's those longer pieces, but I did a chevron pattern. And so it's kind of like a herringbone. So it really did a really nice job. And if you do that kind of flooring, it's kind of hard to mess up, you know, except for making it kind of crooked. I mean, it's really, really easy. So again, Susan, we're going to say lamb is not glam and tiles in style. So that's what you're doing. We'll talk after. That's what you have to do. And I'll give you all the tips and hints.
There you go. Well, again, Scott Hamilton Harris, I always want to make sure and let folks know where the best place to keep up with everything, where to submit their questions. Obviously, they can email those to us or more information about you as well.
All right. Yeah, it's Scott at buildingcgroup.com is my email. Happy to tell you my life story if you want. Send over a request. But also you can go to our website. It's built, name of the company is Building Construction Group, but as generic as it gets, that was the idea. And the website is scott@buildingcgroup.com. You can find me on Instagram. I think it's Scott_Harris_building, and you can find me through Cameron on Facebook. I don't Twitter. I'm just, after Trump did that whole Twitter thing, I can't do it.
I understand.
I can't.
I use it for marketing only.
Yeah. But, and I hope to hear from you all next month. And I love spending time with you, Cameron. It's like the highlight, one of the highlights of my month. No matter how things are going, they're always going better with you.
Well, I appreciate that, Scott. I appreciate that. And look forward to catching up again next month.
Same here.
Well, thanks again for joining us for this 150th episode in Season 2 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. If you ever have a comment, question, maybe anything else you'd like to know, you can hit me up on the contact page at gqwithcam.com. You can also find me on the socials, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Facebook at GQWithCam. If you'd like to help out in the funding for this podcast, you can visit our merch store where we've got hoodies, tumblers, mugs, stickers, shirts, backpacks, and more, gqwithcam.com/shop. And if you have a special guest idea, just email me, Cameron@gqwithcam.com. Thanks again to our good friend Brandon Allen for coming up with our theme music. We're going to let him play us out and hope you guys have a great rest of your evening.